is the man that you fear most in football staring you right in the face?
Mark Grody.
I call him a maniac. Stone maniac.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
You had to overcome the mystique. It was almost like an odor. He exuded a kind of a presence.
Co-host of the Take the North podcast.
His whole damn life was football. Wasn't driving a pretty car. Wasn't going to the local bar and pounding your chest, I'm the greatest. It was the opposite.
Mark Grody.
He was Moby Dick in a goldfish bowl.
Mark Grody with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
One of the beautiful things about what happened on yesterday's show was watching Mark Grody turn into on stage Mark Grody, because he has a background as a stand-up comedian, and seeing him deal with our crowd, even though he was on Zoom, was really magical. I loved that. I loved, as a listener, you getting to enjoy Groats in a way that maybe you hadn't.
It's a good observation. We love a crowd, and Mark Grody loves a crowd as well, and the crowd loves you back, Groats.
It was perfect, because the stand-up that I did back in my Springfield days at the Funny Bone Comedy Club, I was the opening act guy, so I got to do like 15 to 20 minutes, and then the real comedian would come out and crush for an hour. I felt like I was the opening act for Dave Wanstead yesterday. It was perfect. I had the 4 o'clock slot, which is very valuable on the Spiegel and Holmes show, but Dave Wanstead, that's the show, man. Yeah. That's the guy. So yes, I felt very comfortable in that spot yesterday with you guys. That was a blast. Did you guys have fun with it? I went back and watched some of it. You guys looked like you were having fun too.
It was so cool, man. It's great. It's the first time this show's had a chance to get out there and commune with the peoples, and they were warm. And I thought their questions about the show were very much on point in terms of like stuff that was rolling around people's heads. But Mark Grody, it's 5 o'clock on a Friday, and there's a Bears game in 2 days.
And there's Bears news.
There is, yes. Bears news. So let's get to the meat and potatoes of the whole thing. For anybody who doesn't know, Velus Jones put on waivers. Kari Blossom game flat out released. Velus probably soon to follow unless another team claims him. What are your thoughts on these maneuvers, Mr. Bears beat?
Well, of course, not a surprise that Velus Jones Jr. was waived. I mean, this is a guy who, he didn't get cheated with the Bears. I mean, they gave him every single opportunity. A lot of us were surprised that he made the roster even coming out of camp. You guys all got to see how well liked he was on HBO Hard Knocks. I don't know if that played a part, that everybody was going to bat for him. They even tried to turn him into a running back. So this is a guy who did not get cheated in his time with the Bears. I know that he was very popular in that locker room. It's too bad. You know, I wish they would have. And maybe they asked Velus Jones Jr. the timing on this. Maybe they gave him the courtesy of that. It would have been nice to have had a final talk with Velus Jones Jr. because he was around. I didn't see him today, but he was in the locker room yesterday. So no surprise, and the right move by Ryan Poles. And I'm sure that this was difficult for him. We saw how he takes these things in Hard Knocks as well. He's an actual human being. And then Kari Blassen game, the game, just was never really used by the Bears. And I was talking about it on the Take the North podcast today, that you know, Kari Blassen game's best highlights seemed to come, other than a couple of real games, seemed to come in training camp, when occasionally we would see a pass lofted downfield and we'd be like, who is that? Oh my God, they just threw the ball downfield to Kari Blassen game. But he just became a guy that was a very releasable because of, you know, Doug Kramer being used in the fullback spot and, you know, toying with tight ends and Cole Kmet doing it as well. It just became pretty obvious that Kari Blassen game, who also was very present during the week in the locker room, like no indications that this was going to happen. He just became accessible, and that is what has happened. And both really good character guys and good guys in that locker room, but these were the right move by the Bears.
Earlier, Shane Reardon looked it up, and there were 12 fullbacks that played snaps last year in the NFL. I'm looking right now. How many teams do you suspect have a fullback on the active roster?
Altogether,
I would say. In the entire league right now today.
6?
9.
Wow.
So,
okay.
Yeah, so you're on it. Only 9 teams currently roster a fullback now that the Bears do not roster Blasingame.
Yeah, I mean, it's just not part of this NFL. I guess Mike Martz, once upon a time ago, was ahead of his time. Well, even though he brought in Brandon Molly useless, as Les would call him at the time. But, you know, Blasingame, like I said, just never was particularly useful no matter what offense he was a part of while he was with the Bears.
So how much healthier physically are the Bears that they can afford to make these moves?
Well, I mean, you know, obviously there are some – Jaquan Brisker and Kyler Gordon are both out for this game. Brisker, I was not particularly surprised with that, with the concussion. Kyler Gordon out for the Bears as well with a hamstring injury. But yeah, I guess Lawrence, on the offense, this is a, you know, an offense that the running back room is pretty solid in terms of the depth chart behind DeAndre Swift with Khalil Herbert. You have Travis Homer, who we finally get to see lately practicing and again present in the locker room for the Bears. So they're in pretty good shape. The offensive line, they actually have excess there. Talked about this a little bit yesterday, in that I do think that this configuration of the offensive line, and it will be the exact same configuration that we saw when last the Bears were playing in London, I do think that they deserve to continue to show what they can do, because they've been pretty good together. Now, if along the way they need to tweak things when Ryan Bates returns, Larry Borum is back for the Bears and could potentially be active on Sunday, we shall see. Bill Murray, Karan Amagaji. I mean, you do have depth. I don't know like how high we want to rate the quality of the depth, but the depth is certainly there on the offense right now.
Groats, let's talk about Jaden Daniels and Marcus Mariota and the difference between the two, if it actually exists in the minds of the defense.
Yes, for people who don't know.
Ooh, bless you.
Thank you.
You are so good looking.
I was trying to hold off that sneeze.
I heard it, man.
I was fighting it off so well.
Almost, buddy. Almost, man.
Thanks, bro.
So Tanny, man, where does that rank with the Murph sneeze?
Excuse me. Couldn't get to the cough button there in time.
Didn't notice.
Oh, that's amazing. That's Pat Hughes not noticing a Mark Grody sneeze.
Classic Pat Hughes right there. Didn't even notice, didn't hear a thing. We carry on.
Yeah, that one was a big one.
My BFF right there. Jaden Daniels is a game-time decision for the Washington Commanders. Lots of gamesmanship going on, which we'll get to with the Fluce here in just a second. We all know at this point that if Jaden Daniels does not play in the game, Marcus Mariota would be the starting quarterback for the Bears. So we took the question to Jalen Johnson of The Score and of the Bears and asked him to differentiate between the two, Daniels and Mariota.
Just more dynamic. I mean, same play style, same QB style, dual threat, extend plays with the legs, get out on the perimeter, make good throws. But I mean, just Daniels young, more dynamic. Of course, Mariota seen more, been around a little longer, more experienced. So I mean, that's the biggest difference.
Does it mean extra work for you guys when you're not sure who it is or
no? No, same style quarterback.
You, as the competitor you are, would you prefer to face the more dynamic quarterback in Daniels, as you said?
I mean, honestly, I don't give a damn who's out there. I'm looking forward to whooping their ass either way. So, I mean, it doesn't really change too much for me. Just, I know for us in the defense, we just want to go out there and win and dominate. That's our mindset, regardless of who the quarterback is.
Yeah! Yeah, Jalen! That's right!
Oh, yeah.
I don't give a damn who's out there. I'm going to whoop their ass either way. I will say, though, that his position, he doesn't really have to worry too much about which one is out there. Like, if you're a linebacker or you're a safety, or, you know, or you're the nickel, even, you've got to worry about the differences in quarterback style. Jalen, to a lesser extent.
I would say, though, that maybe if Jaden Daniels is playing, he might be willing to challenge Jalen a little bit more than maybe Mariota would, because Mariota's been in the league the same amount of time and knows. Maybe Jaden Daniels would be like, you know what? Let's see if he's good. Uh-huh. I'm gonna have Terry McLaurin over there. I'm gonna push the ball down the field and see if Jalen Johnson's good.
Was that Montez that just said?
That's Montez.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm. So I'm glad you brought up that name, Lawrence Terry McLaurin. Jalen Johnson was asked a couple of questions right here about the Washington offense.
How would you describe Terry McLaurin, the way he plays?
Smooth, explosive, big play, making ability. I mean, again, I've been a big fan of this game for a long time. Back to Ohio State, so I mean, he's been playing the game at a high level. He's just going to continue to do that.
You know, this Commanders have the number one scoring offense in the league. Is there an element that they present that you really haven't seen before, or a threat, or just anything different they do that you have to be especially prepared for?
No, sir.
No, sir.
Love that. Love that.
That's a confident man. That is a very confident man. Terry McLaurin's really good.
He's real good.
Like, we would talk about him like we talk about DJ Moore. Like we talked about DJ Moore last year, getting it done with absolutely any quarterback, as he always has. McLaurin's put up numbers with everybody that he's had to work with there.
It's a great comp, and I love that. Even this year, when people were asking, hey, why isn't McLaurin a bigger deal in this Washington offense? He was so protective of Jaden Daniels. And he's like, look, the offense is going to have opportunities for all of us. He will find me. We will make big plays. And my job is to be ready when he finds me. So you know, I think that's a really good comparison when you talk about DJ Moore, because it's a similar way that he's trying to make sure that as the number one catcher on that offense, that he pays enough respect and gives respect to the rookie quarterback.
Yeah, he's the leading receiver on this team for touchdowns this year, so he's the guy. And I remember saying it out loud on the score before the Bears did all the things that they did, including trading for DJ Moore with Carolina. I was like, you know, you look at bad teams with good receivers. That's what I was doing. I was thinking, how about Terry McLaurin? But he obviously stayed with Washington, and he is good for him. He is one of those guys who has survived the bad years with Washington, and in theory, Washington's going to be good. So good for that guy, again, professional wide receiver, and I think Jalen Johnson nailed it as well.
You know, it's funny, like we talked about DJ Moore putting up 1,000-yard seasons in Carolina with like it just an insane group of unaccomplished quarterbacks. Terry McLaurin at 1,000 yards with Sam Howell, with Taylor Heineke, with Alex Smith, you know, towards the end. And a combo of Alex Smith and Dwayne Haskins, the late Dwayne Haskins, 1 year. So Terry McLaurin, DJ Moore is more on point than I even realized. But go ahead, Gross.
Sam Howell leading the league in passing yards for the year last year?
Because he was dropping back 50 times a game,
yes,
man.
Yeah. In the Bears game, he threw. They had to because the Bears were pummeling them. But I think if you go back and look, he threw it 50-plus times against the Bears and didn't really get anywhere. Let us turn our attention now to the Bears head coach, Matt Eberflus, and I put together all of the questions regarding the situation at quarterback for Washington and how Matt Eberflus would react to that, being that he is the guy who will be playing or calling the plays against this Washington offense and whomever the quarterback is.
What has allowed them to really do that? And does motion, you also utilize a lot of motion?
My bad. Sorry.
Just more dynamic. Oh. I mean, same play style, same QB style, dual threat.
What's happening?
We have had some technical difficulties. Oh, okay. This does not please me. I am not pleased.
You want to start over?
Sean Sears was in here messing with the computer earlier, so I think that might be what was going on.
Who was messing with it?
Sean Sears.
Oh, classic Sears.
Sears. Like, he just walked out of the production studio like, what the hell,
man? It seems like Shane just like casting
Johnson,
blame.
You're explain yourself.
Yeah. Good. Good for you, Sean.
It's old sabotaging Sears. Yep.
Well, Tanny, you tell me when you're ready.
So the other one.
What happened?
The second Flus did not upload. So let's go to the other Flus first, if we can restructure that. And then by the time we're done with that, we'll have the other Flus in there.
Okay.
Sorry about that, folks.
It's
Friday. We've been drinking
all
day.
Hold on, Lawrence. Hold on.
Just for like an hour.
In five,
but the
four.
Name of the hurricane is Hurricane Dicka. No, hold on a second, Lawrence. Let me set it. Let me set it up for you.
Set
really
up the other
quickly.
One.
Yeah, just so people know the context. We don't want to get into a bad. This is my Illinois State Hall of Fame talking here. What about
pace?
What about the one-arm guy? What about the
Provasic.
Washington? You switch the samples. I did not have that one in my bag back in the day when I was doing the old stand-up. This is Matt Eberflus on Washington's big play ability because they got a lot of it.
What has allowed them to really do that, and does motion, you also utilize a lot of motion, does that affect of like how they're able to create those explosions?
Yeah, it goes back to what I was just talking about before. They get their athletes in space, you know, and they do a really good job with that, and they've hit some good runs too. You know, they've really done a good job with that. They're top in the league in both run and pass in terms of explosives, so their scheme has done it, and also just putting people in space.
So they put people in space, they get explosives. And I like that they put people in space because most governments haven't bothered to do that for a while now. Just not financially worthwhile.
That's true. That's true. I mean, I was a big fan of Pigs in Space back in the day on the old Muppet Show. Yeah, on the Muppet Show, Pigs in Space.
How about Jews in Space from Mel Brooks' History of the World? Were you a fan of that?
Was that a thing?
Yeah,
I was more Spaceballs than... Pigs and Jews in space.
I understand.
I feel uncomfortable talking about Jews in space.
Sure, and you should about pigs.
We ain't found.
But Groats, yeah. So Washington, yeah. Explosive plays.
Yeah, they can make explosive plays. Uh-huh. Yes.
Tanny, is it up or should we move on to Nuggets?
No, you know what? I decided to not put it in. You know, I just like, you know what? I don't like these questions that are being asked.
That's
and I decided
right.
to double down on my own mistake.
No.
I was like, who cares about this nonsense? Hey, none of this matters in the big picture anyway, okay? Let's be honest.
It doesn't matter. A lot of people think it matters. No, that's the...
Just get a win, Grody. We don't need the audience.
I have so many nuggets for you guys.
No, we got the supercut. Flus on Washington in the sitch there, right?
Great. We're doing the sitch. We're doing the sitch. Okay, let's do the sitch.
Does this sound like good old fashioned gamesmanship coming from DC?
Well, you know, if you focus on yourself and it's about us mentality, I don't think it does much. I just think that we just prepare the way we prepare and get ready for him to play. And if Marcus is in there, we're going to play the game still, you know. And and that's really about it. Focus it on us, and it's about us.
Do you have a hunch, whether you want to say that or not? But do you have a hunch as to who is going to play?
Yeah, I really don't. I don't think that way. So we'll be kicking the ball off, and we'll see.
Did you have to use two different scout team quarterbacks?
No, throughout the week? No, because you know when you look at the game last week, you know when he came in early. They operated the same way. They ran the same offense. It was the same exact offense that they ran before. So I don't see those guys changing. They believe in their system. It's very effective, and they're going to use that system.
When you do have a game time decision like this for an opponent, what's the process like for you guys on like Sunday morning when you find out what you know who is playing? I'm
not sure everyone knows. In this case, not that much. Yeah. Not that much because, like I said, you're using the same offense, running the same plays, and so it's really not that big of an adjustment for us.
Matt, with regard to the Commanders' uncertainty at quarterback, can you recall a time in your career where you were in that situation and either overthought it or ended up not being a big deal? In other words, is there ever a lesson learned, somewhere you learned how to handle that?
I would say that would be different if you're going to talk about a different way to play, you know, but I don't see that here. But, you know, to reflect on your question, I would say that, yes, probably at receiver, where you're going to move your coverages and your contours towards that receiver and taking that guy away. On first, second, and third down, if you had a really good receiver like that, you didn't know if he was going to play or not, so you'd have to have a plan and then for him being up and then a backup plan.
Yeah, it's good stuff. I'm glad to hear all that stuff, all those questions about the quarterback all put together. One note, Grody, if I were you, I would have played that before the other cut. that you just did. That's just a suggestion. I don't want to tell you how to do your job.
I'd like to thank Chris Tannehill for putting that together for us. I'd also like to thank Sean Sears for the sabotage on that particular one.
You got it, but
I don't know what the hell is going on back there. I mean, really.
Everything's under control now. You mentioned nuggets and tidbits from the Bears practice and your day up there, sir.
Yeah, first of all, Travis Smith, the Bears defensive line coach, gave us a great nugget that there have been 13 different Bears players that have recorded at least a half a sack this year. One of the Bears players that has not, and maybe one of the only that has not, so maybe, you know, put a little money on it, to Daniel Hardy is one of those who has not recorded at least a half a sack this year.
That's interesting. Hold on there, because I think they're proud of what they've done with the rotation. And I know a lot of people are hyped up. We'll talk more about it next week to maybe trade for an edge rusher. I think they feel like they're scheming a lot of pressure with their depth. So
well, that was the spirit of that answer, Spiegs. I mean, spot on, because you know they're talking about, hey, maybe might be bringing in some help from the outside, trying to see if the assistant will comment on it. And I think that that's Travis Smith saying, hey, look what I got here. Let me show you this. And not that they wouldn't want one of those dominant edge rushers.
Yeah, it's all well and good, but if all of a sudden the Bears have Max Crosby, we're talking about them very differently going forward.
Well, yeah, I mean, and Travis Smith, you know, he took in Montez Sweat last year and was probably defending the defensive line last year as well. Montez comes in as like, thank you very much. We'll stop talking about the half sacks that have been occurring for the Chicago Bears. Now, this is funny, too. So I asked Nate Davis today, if he had time for a quick interview, a quick conversation, and he said he was smiling, looked at
no.
me, put his hand on my shoulder, and told me, "No, I'm going to play ping pong right now."
That's the best answer ever.
I laughed.
I like Nate Davis.
I liked it too, Lawrence. I've been hard on him. You guys know that. I'm on record. But the fact that he smiled at me, put his hand on my shoulder, and said, no, I got to go play ping pong.
That is the hand on the shoulder is a lovely gesture.
It was a lovely gesture.
But now I'm picturing Ryan Poles walking by and seeing Nate freaking Davis playing ping pong and just like, just grumbling to himself about it.
Once they're in their locker room, they are free to go play ping pong.
Sure. Ping pong is for closers.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
That's what the movie taught me.
I don't know about you guys, but I think Matt Pryor and Bill Murray have been pretty good at ping pong. I think those guys have filled in quite nicely.
They've done a really nice job with ping pong. And you've done a nice job with this Bears hit, two words, Mark Grody.
Wait, hold on.
He's still rolling.
Hold on, Lord, because this is specifically for your show. I know you're trying to get the heck out of here. But I talked to Doug Kramer today on the behalf of you guys.
Thank you.
I said, hey, by the way, the mini fridge is still in the studios on the Score with Matt and Lawrence. And he said, okay. He smiled and said, that's good to know. And I said, did any of your friends or anybody reach out to you? And he told me that his grandparents are probably the biggest listeners to the Score of all his family and his friends.
Yes!
All
right. That's tremendous. We love the Kramer family, and we are appreciative. Yes.
Shout out to them
listening to the show and to the station.
And we have stickers. We have more stickers to put on the mini fridge next week. Should that man appear in this game? One can hope that he does.
All right, I'll go now.
Then Doug Kramer put his hand on Grody's shoulder and said, I got to go play ping pong.
Hey, Grody, any chance Doug's grandparents are within the demo?
Well, you tell me, man. I don't have those kind of notes. Shane, are they in the demo?
It's
all right.
I like the idea of a different bear putting his hand on Mark Grody's shoulder and going off to play a different parlor game.
There's a new game on the Take the North podcast, too, that it's going to be pleasing Dan Wiederer. Can you please him? That's it. Wow. That's all I got.
You can't get away from those allegations.
Yeah,
he's a really good ping pong player.
How do you have that?
How does
I had to make
that?
Up for my mistake earlier.
Is that AI?
Tanny's back. This Tanny's incredible.
We're all very uncomfortable with this Bears update because Tanny made his first mistake ever.
I didn't know it. I put it on Sean's ear.
Hey, Tanny, I just got this text message from Chris Ranji. First day?
That's fair.
Oh, it was my fault. I was supposed to put the audio in. That's my fault, not Tanny's.
As we know, Shane is in charge of all the audio.
Yes.
Shane, you should have texted Tanny to remind
and
you.
No, that's us, Shanny.
I'm drinking a nice Shanny.
Tanny's never done anything wrong. That was on me. Yeah. I'll take blame.
I was so uncomfortable with him making a mistake that I blamed myself. I was like, oh, maybe I didn't send the right order.
Can anybody tell it's a Friday at 5:26?
Yeah.
Thanks, Mark.
Yeah. Bye.
Love you.
This feels like the show where we're drinking. Not what happened yesterday. That was great.
Yeah.
Shout out to Grody for rolling with the punches. And Tanny, you know we love you. And that how rare this is a testament to how good you are. All right? Cool. When we come back.
I'm just going to die the samurai's death over here for the rest of the show. Don't worry about it. We're good.
Commit Harry Carey. Hi.
When we come.
Can you get him?
Wow. Just not going to let me break.
Happy birthday, Mike.
See? Goodbye.
Spiegel and Holmes show flashback. Flashback. Flashback.
Yeah, there is. There's a natural dislike, right, for these two teams.
Yeah. Montez Sweat was telling us, you know, I played for Washington. By the way, I want to make sure you knew, Tony. He said, but I still hate the Cowboys, but I'm going to learn coming here to Chicago. I'm going to learn to hate the Packers.
What a great job, again, bringing him in. They call it the Tez effect here. They've been dominant since he's been there. He has a chance to lead two franchises in sacks this year, the Redskins and the Bears.
That's crazy.
The future is bright for this Bears organization. We talk about the number one overall pick and what they're going to do there. You get a ton of draft picks. You can take the quarterback. So much of that depends on today, I feel like.
It really does.
The game is going to be on CBS at 3:25. Jim Nantz and Tony Romo will be on the call. Maybe by then he'll get the name of the other team right. All that good stuff. But speaking of Jim Nantz, like Jim Nantz has been fired up about this opportunity to call the Bears being kind of back and Washington being kind of back.
Yeah, he rightly recognizes these are two huge NFL towns. I mean, my sister lived in D.C. for a while, and I remember talking to me about it. Like, that team, the formerly named team, when they were good, that would lead the newscasts, would lead the local newscasts.
Let me tell you something about what's going to happen on Monday if the Bears win. They are going to lead newscasts.
That'd be awesome.
That's going to happen.
I like it. Maybe I'd watch.
Here's more of Jim Nantz about the Bears and why he thinks they're an interesting team to broadcast.
You know, I watched all of the Hard Knock shows in August and watched all the behind the scenes chatter with the team and trying to get him up to speed and watching him mature and grow. And statistically, the numbers weren't great the first couple of weeks, but they're certainly good now. They sure are good now. I mean, he's completing 70% of his passes. Look at that. He's thrown 9 touchdowns. Most of them have been in recent weeks. The Bears are 4-2. And when the Chicago Bears have it going, as they do right now, the NFL takes on kind of a different persona and personality. When the Bears are good, that's such a key market. And there are so many Chicago fans all over the country that when they're good, there's a buzz about the season. So, look, it's not only just Caleb. Obviously, our focus is going to be on Caleb and Jaden. But when you talk about the Bears, you can't help but look at that fleet of receivers they have with Rome and Keenan and DJ. It's a complete transformation. I had them their last game of the season last year, week 18. Of course, Justin Fields was there. There was still the cloud over, would they keep him? Would they trade the first pick? Or what would they do? But this is a whole new ball game for the Bears. And I'm very excited. I'm just very excited because these two teams, these two quarterbacks represent the future. And it's a very bright future for those teams and for the league.
CBS really hoping Jaden plays. Really deeply hoping that Jaden plays. But Bears and Caleb ought to be box office. Looking forward to the late start Sunday.
Well, if you'd like to hear more people glow about Caleb Williams, would you be interested in that?
Yeah, I would, especially if it's Kingsbury. Because Cliff Kingsbury, the offensive coordinator over there, we haven't heard from him yet this week. And that is a massively influential person in this matchup on multiple levels.
So here's what he had to say about the process of him talking with the Bears and what he thinks about Caleb.
What did you take from your time with Caleb, and what have you seen from him so far at the pro level?
Yeah, tremendous person, competitor, freaky talent, watching the stuff you do in practice and in the games, his ability, his feel, really, really special. I mean, he's going to be one of the top guys in the league for a lot of years, and so that was cool to get to spend time with him last year.
You also interviewed for the Bears OC job. What was that experience like?
Not going to get into that. Yeah, sorry.
When you were at USC, I guess Caleb said that part of what you were doing there is helping him kind of get ready to prepare for the NFL. So on a daily basis, what were some of the things that you were doing with him to help in that area?
Yeah, I mean, I was just kind of a resource there as much as I could be. You know, that was the good thing. Lincoln allowed me to be the good cop, and any knowledge, anything I could share, particularly with him, and we all knew where he was going, and it was kind of a foregone conclusion that he'd be the first pick for a long time. So really just a resource in any way that I could be helping him, trying to mentally prepare for the things that were ahead.
And then what kind of, like, how often would you meet with him? And then what things did you learn about him through that process?
Yeah, I was there, you know, all day, every day. I mean, I worked there, so all the meetings I was in, out of practice. So it was like being a full-time coach, just getting to do all the good stuff. And like I said, just a tremendous competitor, wants to be great, works at it, and just insane talent. You know, some of the freaky, like, Mahomes-type throws he can make, and the vision, extending plays, the things he can do, and throw off platform was really unique.
Man, that's Cliff Kingsbury. There's a lot of stuff in there. Doesn't want to talk about his Bears experience because, in my opinion, because it wasn't really an actual interview for a job that he was possibly going to get, and maybe knows it more in retrospect. I don't know. But so there's that, and just the Caleb stuff. You know what I also love, Lawrence? The acknowledgement of I was the good cop, because that's how this stuff works. Quarterback coach, offensive coordinator, or sometimes offensive coordinator and offensive head coach, if that's the thing. There's always a good cop and a bad cop, and that's very much the case with this Bears regime with Caleb as well.
He said something that one of our experts said, and it reached me, so I wrote it down.
Okay.
When he's talking about Caleb at the beginning, his feel. Remember who else told us that? That he was starting to be impressed by his feel of the game?
Kurt.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting that that's something that Cliff Kingsbury knows and has picked up on, and Kurt, like, just watching film,
yeah,
has now picked up on, is that he has a good feel for the game.
That's the dream, isn't it? That you get a quarterback who's really playing, that sense of play, and just kind of feels it like that. You know what left a mark on me? The off-the-air stuff about Brett Favre with Tony Wise and with Dave Wanstead here, like, a week and a half ago.
Yeah.
Just, like, the way that those guys, like, saying to Tony, like, oh, Favre, he had the game on a string, didn't he? And Tony was like, oh my God. Just, like, you know, the great ones have complete control, and they make defenses and defensive coaches throw their hands up because they can't stop them.
And I do think on the screen game with Caleb Williams, I think that there's an opportunity. He's eventually an elite screen throwing quarterback. And I know that kind of sounds like a hawkism.
It's not, though.
But I think that he's got the potential to be one of the best in the league at doing that.
Deking people and just sleight of hand, selling it.
The fact that he cares, because there are a lot of quarterbacks that'll go through the motions on some of that stuff.
And he'll choose a different trajectory and arm slot and do whatever he's got to do to get it to the guy on the fly.
I feel like he's close now. I think eventually he's going to be really, really good.
Sounds like the mayor of Worrytown is losing power, frankly.
Well, have you workshopped your take yet about why you think the Bears will win big? Have you been working on that during the breaks?
Well,
or?
Okay, if I were going to make an argument...
There we go.
Because that's kind of how it go. That's how I work, Shane. I'm not just gonna, like, go all takey.
I get it.
But if I was gonna make an argument for the Bears to win this game soundly, I would look at what they've done from a takeaway standpoint, and I would say this defense has been so good at limiting points, turning the other team over, and putting the offense in the best possible position, that maybe you're more excited at them doing that with Mariota out there versus Jaden Daniels being out there.
There you go.
If this team's going to be a contender, it can't just be them relying on the offense growing to that nth degree. It's got to be the stability of that defense, that other teams know that when they play the Bears are coming to take the ball away.
I love that.
And when you see the way that TJ Edwards, you can tell that they're drilling this now. You can tell that Matt Eberflus has a real value. He discusses it almost every week after a game. You have to value the football. If they continue to do that, they can be one of the more scary teams in the entire league.
Hey, Lawrence, I love that. And on the Scores website with our predictions, I got Bears 31, Commanders 17, with a Montez Sweat revenge game being the headline. 2 sacks and a forced fumble is what I got for Tez, to your point of making it happen. Do you know there's one person on this staff, on this show, who has a microphone, who picked the Commanders to beat the Bears? 34-30.
It's not me, is it?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
Did you? No.
No, I didn't do that.
You know what it is?
It's kind of a nuisance, isn't it, Lawrence, making the picks every week?
Yeah, you are.
I almost tapped out and just didn't make the pick.
Instead,
That's why I don't do it.
I'm done for the year.
Instead, you know? You did this disgusting...
Go ahead. You got it in front of you?
Commanders 34, Bears 30 by Chris Tannehill.
Well, he has to offset studs. Like, yeah, I mean, I guess the Bears are going to win every game.
The Bears were beating up on some bad teams before the bye week. They've had a lot of time to read, see, listen, and people talk about how good they are. I must say my history of Bears fandom clouds my judgment at times. That's Chris Tannehill.
Yeah, it just feels like a letdown game. Like, we're all riding super high right now, going on the road against a good team.
That's why I thought the Eric Washington stuff was so important, because I feel exactly what you're talking about, Tanny. Like,
Speaks didn't read the part where I said no Brisker, no Gordon, how that's going to hurt them a lot. So I worry about that.
Yeah, I read it quietly to myself.
But I mean, you guys, as the leaders of, like, the political leaders of Worrytown, when you got rid of ShotSpotter, I thought that's when the Bears secondary would be able to get away with more murder.
I agree. Yeah, well, I agree.
Concernville
should be okay.
Concernville has just gone to hell since that happened.
Yep. I agree. When we come back, we have to talk about the fact that this is a scheduling conflict for those of us that are used to having our Sundays a particular way.
Mm-hmm.
How are we going to navigate it? Find out next.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
I called the secondary of the Chicago Bears a young legion of boom right before the first game of the year, and everybody said, they're not that good, Gruden. Bullshit. They're that good. They're really good. All right? And it's not even a question.
Frank Caliendo's getting really good, isn't he?
Yeah, he's doing a great impersonation of John Gruden.
Oh, goodness. He's screaming into the void, but now he's got 200,000 YouTube followers.
I'm not surprised.
Hey, take a look at this email.
That's on a very special episode of John Gruden.
Man, follower count would take a jump. So you said it before the break, man. 3:25 game. That means noon to 3 is available for...
I don't know, but usually, like, this is my least favorite. Of all the opportunities that there are.
Really?
Yeah, because of all the other stuff that, you know, you're doing my post-game video, doing the podcast. Like,
I see.
And then you're like, do I eat dinner or not? Like, because I'm still gooped up on GOP from the game and all of that stuff.
I didn't know you used that much GOP during the game.
You got to get a lot of GOP. But
because I'm doing noon to three to me is like red zone for the entire first window. For the entire first window is just me and Scott Hansen as he lovingly takes me around the league.
And the witching hour.
Yeah, all of it. And then probably maybe a jigsaw puzzle while me and Scott Hansen are hanging out for the red zone.
All right, Bernstein.
It's a nice crisp.
No, that's crossword.
Crisp fall day.
Oh, so I can go outside. Oh, yeah, that's right.
59 and sunny on Sunday.
Sounds nice.
That's a good day to get some stuff in, like great day for a run.
You know what I just realized? Brunch.
It's a Sunday. Lawrence, no.
A lot of people run on Sundays.
It's a football Sunday.
Yeah,
no.
But you wouldn't go run during the game. You go run it like instead of...
It's a good exercise day.
You go run like 9 o'clock.
And go for a bike
or
ride.
Or not at all.
Go
or
for a bike,
not at
all. Bike ride on the lakefront. Be a lovely morning for a bike ride on the lakefront.
It sure would.
With a hoodie. Wear your helmets, folks.
In the office. In the elevator.
So what are you guys going to do? Like, what's your plan?
I got to say, I'm not like Cole Kmet. I prefer the noon game. And I got to say, I didn't like the 8:30 London start as much as I thought I was going to.
I loved that.
You know, like, it was nice to have the day open after that. But I like running errands, grocery shopping before the game and having, like, all the hay in the barn, so to speak, when the ball goes in the air, you know. So I'll probably just, you know, I'll have more time to do those things. Like, if you want to get a workout in, you got time to do it. And you can clear the decks before 3:25. So I'm okay with it.
I'm so wiped after Bears games, like, and I'm watching post, so I don't watch the 3 o'clock slate because I'm watching post. So I'm pumped to go to Cody's in Roscoe Village on the north side for the noon slate and then get home for Bears kick. Like, I don't get to go out often for Bears.
There you go.
Or for the games that are before Bears. So I'm going to do that for the noon slate and then get home and watch Bears so I can watch post into Sunday Night Football.
Now that I'm thinking about it, brunch. You know,
great day for it.
A tremendous day for brunch. You go on the later side and not have to worry about, you know, trying to squeeze it in before the noon.
And depending on where you go, like, you could enjoy the noon games with some friends, maybe have beverage if you wanted to.
Friends, that's the problem.
You could do that.
That's true. Options. Options aplenty.
That's a wrap.
A lot of opportunities. A lot of opportunities. This was great. Like, this was a really fun show. We hope that you had as much fun as we did. Thanks to our guests, Dan Wiederer, Bob Costas, Olin Krutz, and Mark Grody.
Seriously, man. Find a better show. I mean, don't. Stick with this one.
Stick with it. We'll tell you that it's just really, really good. And you can just hang out with us for a long time.
Game one of the World Series tonight. Let's go. Dodgers in six, he said, hopefully. Screw the Yankees.
Still very angry at the Yankees.
I am.
And that's all right.
It damaged my childhood.
I feel bad for that childhood. It is being repaired one day at a time.
One day at a time right here on the radio, sir.
It's a good, good thing. We appreciate you guys for hanging with us. It's lovely how you've been with the show and how you continue to accept it and really make it a part of your day. It's appreciated, truly. For Tanny and Shane and Speaks, I'm Lawrence. Thank you so much for the love that you have shown us. We will try to repay you in kind on Monday at 2 o'clock on Spiegel and Holmes.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.